Today we have a special guest preacher with us. I came here, I guess, almost 3 years ago now, back to St. Louis to start trying to plant a church and sharing vision and rallying people to a cause. And I was going around kind of meeting with some other pastors in the area, just kind of trying to get to know guys. And you know, and I kept hearing the same name come up over and over again, like, "Have you met with Darren yet?" I was like, "No, I don't know who Darren is. Who's Darren?" They're like, you need to meet with Darren. You need to meet with Darren." I said, "Okay, well," so I call this guy up. And so we meet. I don't know if you remember this, Darren. We met at Panera or St. Louis Bread over there off of Lindbergh and Sunset Hills. And we sit down and we just start talking about ministry. And immediately, just from hearing his heart for the ministry that he was leading here in St. Louis, I knew that this was the real deal. This guy was somebody who was really after the Lord and really wanted to see a change in our city and see the gospel really make an impact here in St. Louis. And so we've met several times since then, and over the last couple of years have formed a friendship. And I shared with you a couple of weeks ago in our family chat that we are in 2018 going to be joining in with the organization that he leads. He is the director of Plant Midwest. And we're going to be working with them to help see the gospel go forward here in St. Louis and plant more churches and do more ministry and see people come to Jesus. And so really super blessed to have you with us today, Darren. Thank you so much for coming and speaking to us. Can you give him a welcome as he comes up and shares God's word?
Thank you, brother. Thanks, man. Thanks, man. That's awesome. All right. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1. I would invite you to turn there with me and... can you help me raise that up just a little bit? So here's my hope this morning for us as we end 1 year and start a new year. Is I pray that God will bring a new and fresh word, a new and fresh revelation of his word to you this morning. God uses people who have vision, who have a vision that comes from the Lord. So I don't know what area of ministry that you're involved in here at Harvest. Maybe it's in the worship ministry or in children's ministry, in a small group. Whatever capacity it is, it may be something that God speaks into your mind, your heart for the school that you attend or the place where you work. God speaks fresh words of vision and of revelation and of purpose and of calling to God's people. One of the reasons why I am excited for Plant St. Louis, Plant Midwest to partner with Harvest Bible Chapel is because of Micah and Courtney. Because in meeting with Micah, I know that he is a man of vision. He's a man who thinks not only about one church, but he's thinking about hundreds of churches. Not only thinking about St. Louis and the Midwest, but thinking about the world. And how we are people who, in obedience to the Great Commission, we are people who think not only about our Jerusalem, but we think about Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. I wanted to say just a word about Plant St. Louis. We may have a slide up there that we can look at. This is the front page of the website. And, this is actually the Plant Midwest site. But with Plant Midwest, there's a number of things that we're involved in, particularly here in St. Louis, that we want to partner with you in. We want to serve the church in. One of the things is the St. Louis Residency. It's a residency for up-and-coming men and women in places of Christian leadership. Different pastors are involved in teaching, but it's all about church planning. It's all about the expansion of the gospel. Another thing that we're doing is something called the Good Neighbor Initiative. And the Good Neighbor Initiative is where we partner up people like you. We partner up Christians with refugee families in St. Louis. We started that just last year, and right now we've got about 80 different churches, from churches like yours to the Journey Church to the Crossing to Destiny Church. I mean, not all of them are within our network, but a lot of different churches are involved with Christians who develop friendships with refugee families in St. Louis. For my wife, Kelly, and I, our refugee family is Ibrahim and Hadil and their children, Reem, Rana, and Muhammad. They are refugees from Syria, and we've developed a friendship with them. And so Plant St. Louis really is about this. It's about a team of missionaries. It's about people who are not just thinking about one church or the church that they maybe are leading or that they're a part of, but we're thinking about how do we take the name of Jesus and the story of Jesus to the nearly 3 million people that live in the metropolitan area. One of the big mile marker moments in my life was in a hotel room in Cairo, Egypt, some years ago, where I was meeting with a number of different missionaries from different groups. The IMB, Wycliffe Bible Translators, Dutch Reformed, the Navigators, different groups. And see, these missionaries were getting together in that hotel room in Cairo because they knew that they needed to work together if they were going to get the gospel to that part of the world. And it really struck me that coming back home to St. Louis is that if we're going to be effective, we got to be a group of people who think of not just about being a part of one church, but think about how can we as a team of people, as a family of believers, as a team of missionaries, as a team of leaders, how do we work together and partner together to make the name of Jesus great and see people saved, healed, and delivered throughout the area. There are so many neighborhoods and places within St. Louis where there is a lack of a healthy, gospel-centered, spirit-filled church. And I tell the team, I tell the guys that I work with, listen, if we're not thinking about that part of the city, who is? My wife is a principal in St. Louis. She's a principal at Melanthe Elementary, which is up by the Botanical Garden. And I hear stories from Kelly all the time about the reality of brokenness in the city. And so we've got to be a group of people that are working together. And so I'm excited for our partnership going ahead in 2018. God uses people of vision. Mike is a man of vision. And I'm excited for the future. You guys probably, I don't even know if Micah knows this. I think he does. 23, it would be about, it sounds so crazy for me to say this because I'm telling you how old I am. But about 23 years ago, I would have been standing here. I mean, in this spot. We planted a church so many years ago. We met in like 6 different locations, and one of the locations was Green Park Lutheran. Can you believe that? When we set up in the summer times, I was talking to some of the guys about what setup looked like. We had a portable air conditioning unit outside this room. This was not air conditioned back in the day. And I mean, it was like we had to run, 220, electric with Ameren, set up our own pole and all this stuff. And we had these big ducts works that came in here, and we cooled this thing down in the summer. And we met here for probably 3 or 4 years. There was one Sunday morning when I got done preaching, I went back to the back to greet people as the people were leaving. And they said, Darren, you've got to come back up here. And I come back up, and Kelly, my wife's here. And Kelly's at our church plant that we're going to in Dogtown right now, in the Maplewood area. That's where Kelly's at, and my boys are at today. Anyway, so Kelly's standing up here 23 years ago, and she's got this little bag in her hand. And it had just been my birthday, not too long before that. And I thought, well, she's giving me some kind of a birthday present in front of my front of the church. And anyway, I reach into it, and it's this little jumper thing, little baby thing. And she's pregnant with our first baby. And I'm bawling up there in front of the whole church, So that was 23 years ago. So a few years later, my family's in southern Illinois, and so we would go down there on weekends to see my folks, see my parents. And Jordan and Zach, our kids, they're like, maybe at that time they're probably like maybe 6 and 4, something like that, ages 6 and 4. And we're driving back at night in the summertime through the country and through countryside outside of Chester, maybe, or Perryville, somewhere down in there. And we come up on this field, and I look in the field, and there's all these lightning bugs, fireflies. So I thought, well, the boys are going to get a kick out of that. So I pulled in a kind of a farmer's field kind of thing, little road there off the highway. And we got out, and there are not hundreds, there are thousands of these fireflies lighting up that field. It was the most amazing thing. I've never really seen anything like it since then. I mean, it was just full of them. That little spark, that little green light that was there. A few weeks ago, I was hanging out with one of our friends in ministry, and we were together on an afternoon. We were at some place up in the city, and when we met, we shook hands. And when we shook hands, he had that, what's it called? When you touch some static electricity? Yeah. And he's like, bang, man. I was like, wow, dude, you're powerful, And then later on in the meeting, when we were leaving, he did it again. I don't know what's going on with this guy. He's like you're going to be in one of those Marvel movies or something. I don't know, some character. But anyway, he goes, I know, Darren. He goes, I've told my wife. I don't know what's going on with me, this static electricity. This morning, the message is this. It's called Releasing the Divine Spark Within You. releasing the divine spark within you. When Jesus walked the earth, he did so with people. He was with people. He was among the people. His eyes were upon the people, with among the people who are the least of these. He was with the people who were the left out, the looked over, the left behind, the lost. This was Jesus. And when he was with them, we find him ministering to them with the power of God in and through his life, in his compassion, in his words, and in his touch. And so a few weeks ago, this just really struck me, looking at the life of Jesus in this story, and I'm thinking about, wow, this was Jesus, this power, this presence that was with him. And then I started thinking about the scriptures that talk about when it says that Galatians 2:20 says that it's not we that live anymore, that we've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but it's who? It's Christ who lives within me, right? And so the life that we live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God, you know, who loved me, gave himself for me, Christ in us. And I started thinking about the potential and the capacity that is within every Christian, within every believer, to touch the world and to touch the leper that is among them. And so I want to encourage you with this thought as we look at the text this morning. I want to encourage you with this thought in 2018. Is what is it going to look like for us to not so much live our lives in the natural, but for us to live our lives spiritually, for us to live our lives in the supernatural, and God's power being released through your life to bless and encourage and offer hope, and certainly the story of Jesus to people around us. So we're going to look here in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. You know, here's the deal. In 2018, I know this is true. You know, this is a great day for us to leave the past behind. It's a great day for us to celebrate the things of the past and to receive grace for the things that, you know, we aren't so glad about from the past year. But I know this, that in 2018, the more that this upcoming year is about me and about my needs and about my wants and my desires and my rights, the less fulfilled I'm going to be in 2018. I know that. If it's about me, I'm not going to be very happy. I'm not going to live a very powerful, kind of victorious life this upcoming year. But I know this, the more that this upcoming year is about the eyes of Jesus in you and I, thinking about others, putting others before ourselves, and saying, God, how can you use me to bless and encourage someone else today? You've blessed me so that I can be a blessing to someone else. How can that happen, Lord, today, this week? The more that's a reality for us this upcoming year, the more fulfilled, the more powerful and effective our lives are going to be. So I want you to stand with me. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. We're going to read this text, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to talk about what it means. It says, rising early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. He said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also. For that's why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. A leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. Father God, thank you for, God, your word this morning. Thank you, God, for a sweet time of worship. Thank you, God, for a year of celebration, a year of ministry, God, for Harvest Bible Chapel here in South St. Louis. And God, I just pray blessing upon this church. God, their leaders, their pastors, Father. I pray blessing, God, upon us in this moment, God, as we read this text. God, I know that, Lord, I am a broken and messed up guy in so many ways. But Father, your word is perfect and your spirit is present. And so I pray, God, for just, God, give somebody, God, just a fresh word this morning, a vision of God, for their life, God, for why you've made them. And God, how you want to use all of those gifts and those experiences of their life, God, and those passions of their life, God, how you want to use those things, Lord, to touch the leper around them. God, thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this text, I want us to think about the moment of the story. And when I say the moment, I'm talking about that instantaneous, that big moment, that nanosecond of a moment that changed everything. And of course, the moment of the story is when Jesus touches the leper. It is the moment when Jesus touches someone. So maybe to help us think about how God can use us and how God can release that divine spark of his life. That's what I mean by the divine spark. It's the divine spark of his life. How God can release the divine spark of his life within you to touch and bless others in this upcoming year. We're going to look at 5 marks of this moment. Number one, the first mark of the moment is the silence preceding the moment. The silence that precedes the moment. Verse 35 has long been a big verse in my life since I became a Christian when I was a sophomore in college at SIU Carbondale. That's when I came to know Jesus. And verse 35 has always been a big verse for me. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, if you know the story here, you think about what's been going on with Jesus. Remember what had happened the day before. That morning, Jesus gets up early and goes off to pray. But what happened the day before? Well, the day before, Jesus had been at Simon's mother-in-law's home. And the story is that this is a woman who had probably been laid up for a while. She'd been really, really sick. And so they bring Jesus there to Simon's mother-in-law's house. And there is a time there where Jesus touches her and takes her by the hand, and she gets up and she's healed. Now, people began to, word got out. And Mark says that later in the day, that evening, it's like the whole city's at the front door. People hear about it. And, and thinking about that story, too, I think it's, we don't need to judge people about why they come to church or why they go to a service or why they want you to pray for them. I mean, people are desperate. People are just trying to live, right? People are just trying to make it in life. And that's what's going on in this city. I mean, they didn't come to, pay homage or necessarily worship Jesus, God. They didn't know him, really. They just were desperate. They needed a touch. They needed healed. And so they show up there at the front door of the house, and the text tells us that many of the people, Jesus healed them, and he cast out many demons. So here you've got Jesus in his full humanity, and yet in his full deity. It's always hard for us to fully kind of comprehend that in our finite minds, but he's fully God, fully man. And in that day, it's been a big day of ministry. Big day. So the next morning, he rises up early to go be alone with God and to spend time alone with God in prayer. So he goes up because he's got to get alone with God. He needs silence. He needs time to talk to his Father. He needs stillness not only because of what he's been through, but because what he's knowing is what is going to come up. Jesus, fully God, here on earth, living his life as a man, fully dependent upon God. Jesus was, if he hit his arm or something, he could get bruised. We know he was tempted. We know that Jesus' emotions were affected while he walked the earth. Jesus said, the Son, speaking of himself, he said, the Son can do nothing by himself. In John 14:10, he said, the words I say to you are not my own, but it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. So think about that. What's happening? Jesus is getting up and getting along with the Father. He is depending upon the Father in prayer for power in his life for ministry. Now, I can't fully get all of that, how that works, that Jesus is completely man and completely God. But what we in this picture, what we see is he is dependent upon the Father in prayer for power in his ministry. And one of the reasons why Jesus gets up early like this, and one of the reasons why Jesus did this, I believe, is that he wants us to live our lives on the same basis. And that is that if Jesus got alone with God and prayed to the Father for power in his life, wouldn't you and I do the same? Wouldn't you and I find that same necessity? And so there is an example of the life that Jesus set before us. That Jesus, as eternal God, in the flesh, creator of everything, holding up the universe by the word of his power, and yet he lived in dependence in prayer for his ministry and for power. I don't remember if it was, you know, Andrew Murray or E.M. Bounds or one of those guys who said, or Tozer, but where there's more prayer, there is more power, and where there's little prayer, there is little power. And I believe it with all of my heart that for you folks, for the born again, for the spiritually alive people in this room, I know that there are good works that God has prepared in advance for you, and he has made you for a very specific reason. He's made you in a very specific way and fashion to touch the world around you, to release the life of God through you to help encourage, bless, and help others around you. But I also know if Jesus was dependent upon being alone with God, you and I are going to have to be dependent upon being alone with God as well. We can't do it on our own, folks. It's not about going out there and just trying in your flesh and trying to do this. You need the Holy Spirit working through your life. You need the life of God working through you, being filled again, being filled daily and regularly with the Holy Spirit so that the life of God can be fleshed out, lived out through us to bless others. Second thought is this, is the secrecy of the moment. Now, it's kind of a sub-point, but you need to know it, and you probably already do, but I just want to say a word about it. Mark says that, that Jesus has been off with the Father, and his boys come up to him, and they're like, "Where have you been? We've been looking for you," right? That's what the text says. They've been looking for him. When they find him, they're like, "There you are. We've all been looking for you." And then Jesus says something I think is kind of interesting. He says, okay. He says, "Let's go on to the next towns because that's why I've come out." Interesting that he's been alone with God that morning in prayer. And I just wonder, did the Father then speak into Jesus about some areas and some towns for ministry? Jesus speaks words of revelation, or God speaks words into Jesus. And he says, "Hey, this is what you're going to do now, son." Remember what Jesus said? He said, "What you see me doing, it's not me doing, it's a Father doing it through me." The Father is speaking into him. And so there's times when you and I get alone with God, and God speaks to us about what ministry is going to look like in the day ahead, or the weeks ahead, or the year ahead. But if we don't get alone with God, we may miss that. If you don't get alone with God, you may miss that word. So how important it is that we get alone. So one of the things about the secrecy of the moment is, you know, the story is that the leper comes to him and Jesus heals him, and he tells him, "Hey, don't go tell anybody this, right? But you're gonna show yourself to the priest later, but right now don't go telling everybody about it." Why is that? Well, because people didn't fully understand his purpose for being here. They didn't understand the purpose of Jesus' life. They were looking at him as a political or a military kind of leader. And Jesus knew if there's all of these people, it's going to be hard for him to move from town to town. So it's kind of this messianic secret. Don't share with anybody just yet. Of course he does, but doesn't stop Jesus' movement. Number three is the recognition of complete inadequacy in the moment. The recognition of complete inadequacy in the moment. The inadequacy of the moment is the leper and leprosy. Leprosy, known as Hansen's disease, is this horrible, this man has this horrible physical condition that essentially cuts a person off from everything. It's been described as like a living death. You think about what this man is going through, what this man is dealing with. I mean, physical health? No. He's sick, right? Emotional or relational health? No, but because of his sickness, he's kind of set apart. A sense of community or friendships? Did not have it. People couldn't touch you when you had leprosy, and you couldn't touch anybody else. And if anybody got within, you know, a certain distance of you, I mean, it was like, it was law. You were supposed to shout out unclean and warn them not to get close to you. And this was the condition of that man. So nobody would have anything to do with him. He's set apart in a community or a colony of people like him, you know, emotionally, physically, spiritually, in every way, just cut apart. Physically disabled, socially an outcast, spiritually empty, completely broken, inadequate. And this is a picture of humanity. This is a picture of humanity. This is what leprosy does to a person. One of the things, I didn't know this, some of you guys probably did, but I didn't know it until looking at this, is that leprosy also destroyed the body's warning system. The body's warning systems, right? If you get your hand up to something hot, you feel it, right? You take your hand away. If you've got leprosy, that didn't happen. Leprosy, basically, it numbed the extremities. Your fingers, your toes, your ears, nose, whatever. You drop a potato in the fire, you reach down, pick it. You're not going to do that. A leper could reach down, pick it up, but he's not feeling anything. There are stories like in third world stories of lepers that would lay down at night and rats come up and, you know, ears and stuff like that. Gross to think about, right? But this is what a leper had going on. Researcher Paul Brand called it a painless hell. Now, it's one thing to be so sick and so broken, so morbid, but it would be another thing to be in that condition and not fully realize it. And that's humanity's condition around us. This leper went to great risk even to approach Jesus, to ask him for help the way he did. Remember, if a healthy person got within a certain distance of you, you had to yell out and warn him not to get near you. This man could be stoned to death for doing this, for going up to Jesus the way he did. This is the picture of all humanity apart from Jesus, spiritual leprosy. That's the image of the story, what the story teaches us. It's the picture of the reality of humankind's spiritual condition apart from God. So important for us to be in God's Word. I loved it when my sister read God's Word in the midst of worship this morning. It's so important for us to be in the Word of God, that we developed the way that we think about our lives, the way that we think about the world, the way that we think about why we're here, the way that we think about issues in the world around us today. It's that the Word of God shows us. You know, I love the scripture that says, your word is a lamp for my feet, it's a light for my path. You show me how to live, you show me how to walk. The reason why I say that is I think because, folks, people don't, even I'm talking about the church, even much of the church doesn't understand the reality of mankind's literal condition apart from God. There's nothing normal about it. There's nothing okay about it. There's nothing healthy about it. It's not that we're just born spiritually a little bit off. The Bible teaches that we're born spiritually dead, separated from God, right? People are not okay. They're not fine. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, it's like a leper in a living death. You know, one of the things I hope for me in 2018 is that my expectations and my vision of God is much, much, much bigger, and my expectations and my vision for people is much less, right? And that's not to think less of people per se, but we've got to have a great big vision of God and a great big picture of who God is in our lives. Number four is the compassion of the moment. The compassion of the moment is that Jesus doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't pick up a stone. He doesn't tell him to get out of here. Mark says that he was moved with pity. He was moved with care and compassion. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Jesus said, "It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick." Jesus said, it's not, I haven't come for the righteous or for the well-off or the good or those who feel like they have no need. He said, I've come for the sick. I've come for those who recognize their true condition. I've come for the sinner. I've come for the spiritual leper. Now, if that's who Jesus said that he's come for, then guess what? If it's not me living, but it's Christ living his life through me, right? Galatians 2:20. If it's not me living, but Christ living through me, then I have the same mindset. That we've come for not the healthy, but the sick. We've come not for those who feel like they have no need, but for those who are beginning to recognize they are broken and messed up and jacked up, and they need God. They need change in their life. The picture of the leper shows us that there are none of us that are so broken. There are none of us so dirty, so sinful, so confused, so messed up that Jesus can't heal us with simply his touch. The story of the leper shows us that. We were a leper and Jesus touched us. We were that spiritually, we were in the lost. We were in the darkness. We were in that place with no hope. And Jesus touched us, healed us, changed us forever. He gave us life. That's what the world around us needs. The guy says to Jesus, he said, if you're willing, make me clean. If you're willing. You know, Paul said this is good, that it pleases God our Savior. He wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Peter said, he, meaning God, is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This is the compassion of Jesus. And then in the story, Jesus does the unthinkable. Jesus then does the absolute unthinkable in that day. You know what he does? He touches a leper. He touches a leper. No one in their right mind thinks about that. Christians who are full of the Holy Spirit do things that nobody else in their right mind would do. You know what? We got a friend. I think Micah knows him. Travis knows him. We got a friend who's packing up his, how many kids, Travis, I don't know if you're here, but how many kids Jeff Neville have? It's like 9 kids, 10 kids. He's packing up, moving to Mumbai, India with his family. Not for 2 weeks, to live. Going there as a missionary in March. People who are full of Jesus do things that other people in their right mind would not ever begin to do. I was asking Kelly last night, you know, why do, like some of her teachers, why do some of the teachers who have a chemistry degree, you know, teach science in the inner city in St. Louis? Christians who are full of Jesus and full of the Holy Spirit do things that other people in their right mind would never do. Jesus touches a leper. Nobody in their right mind would touch a leper. But Jesus does because of compassion, because of love. The last thing is the effect of the moment, and then we're done. The effect of the moment is obvious. The man is healed. The man is made clean. The man is new. The leper is healed. Another effect of the moment, listen, another effect of that moment is that there is a movement that begins. When Jesus is obedient, doing what the Father has told him to do, man, even though Jesus had told the leper, don't tell anybody, right, keep it to yourself, the leper does go out and tell people, and the text says something to the effect that Jesus couldn't really go to the towns anymore. Because he couldn't get in because of the people, but he had to go to the desolate places. And so instead, the crowds follow Jesus to the desolate places. Movement really begins as an effect of this healing. The application is that when lepers get healed, movements begin. You know, Micah and I know that a lot of churches have in their vision statement or their purpose statement something about, you know, we're here to bless the city or we're here to change the city. Something like that. And that's good. You know, nothing wrong with that. But I heard someone say not too long ago that cities are changed and movements begin when lepers in the city get healed. When the most broken, the most messed up, just the farthest from God, when they get healed and delivered and set free, that's when movements begin. That's when the world is like, What kind of miracle is this? So if we really want to change the city, we got to go after the lepers. We've got to go after those that other people in their right mind would not even get near. Right? Because God has made us fishers of men. And when you fish, you know, you throw your nets out over here, you throw your line out over there, and you know, there's going to be some people that aren't into it, that just aren't hearing, right? And so what do? You get alone with God, and God says, you're going to go on to the next town. You're going to go on to the next. But you're constantly fishing for men. You're constantly fishing for people. So the question is, do we want to live our life beyond the natural? Do you want to live your life beyond the natural life this year? I believe that many of us in this room want to live our lives supernaturally. We want to live our lives spiritually. But if that's going to happen, we have to sacrifice the natural. There's aspects of the natural life that we have to give up. We have to sacrifice. I read someone on Twitter this week who said something about, don't be thinking so much in your New Year's resolutions about what you're going to start doing, but you need to think about some things you're going to stop doing too. You're going to stop spending so much time, extra time, on some things that maybe aren't necessarily evil or bad, but they're not as important. They need to be dropped down in the priority list. The question is, if we're going to live our lives supernaturally, then there's aspects of the natural that have to be sacrificed. If there is an unwillingness to sacrifice the natural, we can never truly walk in the spiritual. The natural can only be turned into the spiritual through sacrifice. And without this, we lead divided lives. I read one man who said Abraham had to offer up Ishmael before he offered up Isaac. If we do not sacrifice the natural to the spiritual, if we do not sacrifice the natural to the spiritual, what happens is that the natural life within us resists and defies the life of Jesus within us, and it only produces constant turmoil. We can't live divided lives. We sacrifice the natural. We die to self. We die to that. We give all that up for something so much greater and something so much more wonderful. Romans 12:1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship. We determine right now that we are offering up ourselves, our life, as a living sacrifice. And this turns the natural into the spiritual, and this results in that divine spark being released in our life. That divine spark of God being released in our life, in our touch of others. That simple touch, that compassionate touch in the involvement of life with someone else who's hurting. Our churches need great structure. We need great teaching. We need sound doctrine. We need plans. We need strategy. We need good training. But we also need people who say, Jesus, I was a leper and you touched me. Show me the leper around me that I can touch. The life of your life living through me to touch someone else. Colossians 1, I close with this, teaches that God has chosen to make known the greatness of his riches. God has chosen to, think about this, God has chosen that the way that he's going to make known the greatness of his riches, of his glory, of his love, of who he is through Christ in you. That's his plan. God makes known the greatness of all that he is through Christ in you. And this happens through touch, releasing that divine spark of God within you to touch others. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your word, and God, that amazing, almost incomprehensible truth, God, that this is your plan, that this is the way, Lord, you're going to make known. God, you do it. People see the greatness of who you are in creation. We know that. In the beauty of creation. But your ultimate plan for making known, God, who you are and your love, God, is through other people. It's through Jesus living his life through folks just like those, God, here at Harvest Bible Chapel in South St. Louis. So, Father, I pray Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence in this room today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence even now as we begin to hear the music play. Thank you, God, that you're a God that speaks. Thank you, God, that there's times when you wake us up in the middle of the night with a vision. We have a dream. Thank you, God, that you speak to us in so many ways, and primarily, God, through your word. But God, you speak, you cast these fresh words. This is the direction I'm sending you. Don't worry about Jesus. There was a time when you said, don't worry about what you are to say, because what you need to say will be given to you in that hour. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Holy Spirit, speak. Holy Spirit, would you speak? Would you grace us now and speak in this room? Encourage your people, bless your people. Let this year be a great year. Oh God, a great year when we become less and Jesus becomes greater. I love you, Lord.